Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Yep, that's me. Karen Cataline. It's Tuesday, October 2nd. Can you believe it? Tuesday, October 2nd. If you're listening to this live, and if you're listening to it anywhere and everywhere, you just don't know. You'll have to look at your own calendar to find out what day it is. Well, is there anything in the news going on besides the Kavanaugh hearings? This is Tuesday, as we said, and we are waiting, or so we think, until Friday to find out if this Supreme Court nomination is going to go through or is going to be either stopped or delayed once again. It's almost as if the whole country is in a holding pattern, much like Election Day, when things seem to kind of slow down in time. I woke up this morning and I have to admit I was disgusted. I was disheartened, and I was just plain sad. I am sorry to see. See, for a minute there, I was absolutely speechless. I am sorry to see so openly, so blatantly, and yet I'm glad it's out there in the open, just how desperate the Democrats are for power. And no one said it better than Lindsey Graham in his righteous indignation. Did you watch the hearings last week? Well, much has happened since then. The hearings were last Thursday. I don't have the date, probably September 27th. And I watched them all day. And you know what? I bet a whole lot of other people did too. So many observations that I have about these hearings, so much so that I had to decide which op-ed to write this week. I couldn't decide. I ended up writing one that just came out this morning. I direct you to Town Hall, dated October 2nd. Democrats' emotional manipulation of abuse survivors is anti-therapeutic. And I'm going to be talking about that and much more with our illustrious guest, friend and well-known fill-in host for Spouting Off, Dr. Martina Cartwright. I thought it would be interesting and fun to have two conservative women talk about what's been going on in this country in the last several weeks as it relates to the Me Too movement, which, by the way, will on October 5th, 2017, it will have been a year since the Harvey Weinstein story broke, and since then, more has broke than that. All hell has broken loose, and Democrats have seemed to use that story, the Me Too movement, and everything at their disposal to drive a wedge between men and women. It seems that that has been their agenda for a very long time. Ever since a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle, we have been given, and I've said this before, we've been sold a bill of goods about men, that we're supposed to want weak, sensitive, feminist men. God forbid a woman should want a strong, powerful, capable, protective, competitive, and resilient man, because that resembles capitalism. And after all, we want women marrying the government, not marrying a man. And I've been writing about this at some length because I think that that is the, shall we say, the at 50,000 feet goal and mission of the left right now. They have been radicalized. And by radical, I don't just mean radical ideologically. I mean radical in that they will do anything. They will say anything to get their way to destroy a man's reputation and his entire life, nothing more than for political expedience. It's outrageous. There are a lot of details about this case and details about the hearing that I'm going to want to talk with our guest, Dr. Martina Cartwright. And we're going to bring her in a little early, in about 5-10 minutes, so that we can have a good long time to, shall we say, schmooze with her about what's been going on. If you have ideas, thoughts, opinions about what's been going on, about what you think might go on Friday. Now, Mitch McConnell has said that there will indeed be a vote. I am wondering that if he knows he doesn't have the votes to confirm Kavanaugh, and boy, I hope and pray he does, then I don't know if there's going to be a vote. But he says, and this is 4 days away, that there will be a vote. So if you have opinions on that, if you think you know what's going to happen, and I don't like trying to tell the future, I'm watching along with you. You can give me a call, toll free, 888-627-6008, or you can dial 323-744-4831. So here's another thought. In order that this case should be reversed, I believe this would have happened to Neil Gorsuch instead of Brett Kavanaugh had the two appointments been reversed. What do you think? I think, and they were both on the list. They were both on the very, very short list. So if for whatever the reason, it was Brett Kavanaugh who was appointed first in the seat that is now occupied by Neil Gorsuch, I do believe that Gorsuch, if he were appointed now, they would have gone after him with the same zeal. Because Gorsuch was replacing an already very conservative judge. Brett Kavanaugh was appointed to replace a swing judge that could really swing the court. There's just no doubt about it. And furthermore, a great piece I read this week, forgive me for not having the name at hand, said that there was a much more sinister reason that they endeavored to destroy Brett Kavanaugh. And that is the message to Republicans in general, and especially people that have the reputation of being a Boy Scout. If you're a Boy Scout, even if you don't live up to being a Boy Scout, which, by the way, they've poisoned Boy Scouts too with leftist ideology. But if you strive to be a Boy Scout or a choir boy or an altar boy or whatever terminology you want to make, and you fall even the slightest bit short, the mere striving of your mere striving to be a better person, to accomplish, to show yourself to be the best you can be, to go to Yale, to be a justice on a Supreme Court that's number two in the land after the Supreme Court. The left hates you for that. They just do. They hate you for it. That was going to be the other op-ed that I was going to write, called Appalled by Decency. That's the left. They're appalled by decency. They can't stand that their opposition even strives to be better. The very notion that these people, every single one of them, seriously, with giant scandals and skeletons in their closet, should sit in judgment based on such flimsy evidence on a man like Brett Kavanaugh. I watched those hearings, and I thought Dr. Ford's testimony, at least initially, was very compelling. I didn't say credible. I said compelling. But as evidence has come out, and this is only one of the things that I want to talk about with Dr. Cartwright, my friend, as evidence has come out, it has become clear that there are giant giant flaws in her story that you could drive a truck through. And yet we're not allowed to question her. We are not allowed to ask serious questions about her credibility, about anything in her past, her background. And she wiped it all clean on her social media page, but there's still a whole bunch about her. Her credibility is eminently relevant to this case, as is all of these women, three or four now, who have brought charges, one more ridiculous than the next. And they expect us to believe that, and they expect their base to ignore due process because the end justifies the means. This is outrageous. It is preposterous. So I am convinced that Neil Gorsuch would have been dragged through the mud with every bit of zeal that they are dragging Brett Kavanaugh through the mud right now. And Brett Kavanaugh would have sailed through. It so happens Brett Kavanaugh, from what I hear, is a little less conservative than Neil Gorsuch. But it's all politics. Anybody who doesn't see that it's all politics is fooling themselves. I'll tell you who's fooling themselves the most. Another thing we want to talk to Martina about. You know what? Let's get Martina on the air. And I'm Doug, why don't you give our friend Dr. Martina Cartwright a call? And we'll get her on the air because she is from Arizona, the state of Jeff Flake, who either fell for the latest ruse, who either fell for the idea that we needed to delay the hearings, or he's corrupt and made a deal. Dr. Martina, are you with us?
I am. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Oh, your cheerful voice is so delightful. It's like a ray of sunshine. Let me give you a proper introduction. Dun, 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 dun. Internationally known scientist and speaker, Martina Cartwright, PhD, president and CEO of Beacon Science Biomedical Consulting, adjunct faculty member at the University of Arizona, and you have written more than 20 years experience in biomedical research, education, and infectious diseases. Oh my God, if I say any more, we won't have time, but I have to say one more paragraph. Dr. Cartwright writes a blog for Psychology Today entitled Food for Thought. Visit her website at www.martinacartwright.com. All that, and she wrote the foreword for my book, Fatlash, and coined the term Princess by Proxy. Welcome to Spouting Off, Dr. Cartwright. Martina.
Thank you, Karen. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And as embarrassing as it is that I am here in the state of Arizona, where we have a Flake in our midst.
So tell us about Jeff Flake. What do you think happened with last Friday? I take it you have a little bit of inside information, or certainly an opinion on what happened, because a lot of people do. What's yours?
I have a little bit of both. I actually was paying attention to the news that day as I was working, and I called Jeff Flake's office. The line was busy for several minutes, but I left him a message saying, thank you for supporting Kavanaugh. This is the right thing to do. And what you know, within 45 minutes, he flaked. And he does what Jeff Flake does. And that is, he backtracked on what he agreed to do. And somehow he was cornered by a group of George Soros-funded advocates in an elevator and appeared to be very nervous and changed his mind, which was a huge disappointment. So it's not surprising that Flake flaked, because that's what he does. But what is surprising, his overall demeanor seems somewhat rattled. And I think that was visible on the television when people were viewing Jeff Flake as he was being interviewed. But the other thing is, it appeared that he changed his mind, but we're not really sure why. I mean, he's not running for office again. There's no way he would be reelected. So the question comes up, why did he change his mind? What's in it for him? unless he was being coerced in some way for whatever reason.
Well, Martina, I heard a rumor, but as you know, rumors are flying back and forth. So I'm going to qualify pretty much everything I say in this show, because we're talking as other people talk in the water cooler about this sort of thing. You read about it and then you have to verify it about 10 times. But one of the things that I read is that he was seen talking to Rod Rosenstein, Stein, right before he changed his mind. Did you read that?
I did read that, and I cannot confirm or deny that particular rumor. But I will say it caused a lot of people to think about, well, are they holding something over him? In other words, if you don't do this, then we're going to expose you for something. And again, that's all rumor and innuendo. We don't have any facts to back that up. But again, it goes back to his body language and his demeanor. And for him to make a public announcement that he was going to support Kavanaugh and then to backtrack on that completely after making the announcement is a little weird.
Well, Martina, I'll tell you one of the things that when I hear pundits on the air say, well, it's no secret that Jeff Flake hates, detests, and loathes Donald Trump, and he would do anything to destroy Donald Trump. And while that's true, while that's been extremely obvious, as has been true of your other former senator, John McCain, may he rest in peace, I think it's deeper and more than that. When I hear, oh, it's just a personal animus, I think there's an ideological split between the globalists, and I've talked about this, the globalists and the nationalists. And if you've got your piggy bank all tied up in globalist agendas, and you don't want to be exposed, then you're going to say it's because you hate the president. But if he were a globalist, you'd hate him all the way to the bank, if you know what I mean, right?
I agree, and to your point, this brings up the larger issue of, yeah, you can hate President Trump, but the hatred for Kavanaugh is without cause. I mean, the guy is a Boy Scout. Now, if he were truly, if all this were true, if he was a mean drunk and so forth, if he were a Democrat, he could obviously run and win for state senate in the state of Massachusetts, because I think
he
that
could
was...
leave a woman at the bottom of a river in a car and leave her to die and be called the lion of the Senate, couldn't he?
He could. Or he could you know, run for president and be from the state of Arkansas and do all kinds of things to women as long as they were from a particular social class.
Yep. It's
so
it's mind-boggling.
It truly is.
Well, so let's talk about your impressions. First of all, I'm getting a kick out of the fact, not only are you a friend, you know, disclosure, and we worked on my book on the foreword. You wrote just a spectacular foreword to Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. And we are going to try and put out a second edition with an updated foreword. So to have two conservative women talking about the Me Too movement and this latest, you know, explosion of sexual politics, I'd like to know two questions. One was, did you watch, what did you think of the hearings if you watched most of it? And has your opinion changed much in the last several days as more information has come out about Dr. Blasey Ford and Dr. Kavanaugh?
I did watch some of the proceedings. I found it to be very upsetting to watch a man. This is a quintessential witch trial. I mean, isn't that what they did in the 1600s? In Massachusetts, is to accuse somebody without cause, and then, you know, they were burned at the stake. This was his burning at the stake moment. I don't think they have any evidence. The FBI did 6 thorough background checks. And when the FBI background checks you or somebody that you know, they're extremely thorough. It's like having a root canal done. That's what they do. They check into everything. So if there was any question about his integrity or his ability to serve as a Supreme Court justice, I think that would have been called out in one of these six investigations. So to answer your question, I don't think that an additional FBI investigation will reveal anything, but it will bring the termites out of the woodwork such that we'll have everyone under the sun say, well, I remember he did this, and I remember he did that. And I understand there was a story in the New York Times, what a surprise, that there was a report that Brett was at a bar in the mid-1980s and threw some ice. So if this is what's qualifying as journalistic bombshells, it's absurd and it's insulting, and it's like a third world country. And as we spoke about last week, the only individuals that are laughing at us right now are the Chinese and the Russians, because they're just watching us destroy ourselves from within, just like the Roman Empire.
Well, let's hope that we can recover our future before that happens. Let's go back a little more detailed. First of all, do you trust the FBI? It's not as if the FBI hasn't been thoroughly and completely dragged through the mud itself in the last year and a half to 2 years. Well, you know, I was highly suspicious when the Democrats were hell-bent on sending this to the FBI. Obviously, they wanted to delay. But the FBI, you know, why not the IRS, which is also corrupt? You know, why? Yeah, do you trust them?
I don't. I mean, I trust the rank-and-file FBI agents, but they get their marching orders from who's ever at the top. And so now we have a situation with Rosenstein, as well as our friend Jim Comey, who I wouldn't trust as far as I could throw him. So I think that is problematic. But the tactic was to delay. But again, I do find it curious and somewhat conspiratorial in nature to have the FBI investigating again and then having Rod supposedly pull Jeff Flake aside. So it gives fuel to the whole conspiratorial atmosphere. But again, if they did this six times over a period of year, this man has served with, dare I say, honor and distinction. Remember those words from the...
But where is the honor and where is the distinction today? That's what I want to know.
I think we're seeing it displayed on Brett Kavanaugh's side as well as those that are his supporters. But I certainly don't see that level of respect and integrity on the Democrat side. And some of this may be ideologically based, but I think anybody, if somebody were to come in here from another planet and observe this on television, they would clearly see that the problem lies with the Democrats and their adolescent behavior. I didn't find Dr. Ford at all credible. I mean, the woman is supposed to have a PhD and essentially be one of my peers, and I cannot see relating to someone who talks in such a and speaks in such a juvenile manner. Moreover, to remember something from her adolescence. I've had friends that have been sexually assaulted, and they can remember every detail about what happened in that situation even 40 to 50 years later.
Well, there's huge things in her story, but I'm going to read to you from a piece that I have here by Chadwick Moore, headline, "Records Show Dr. Ford is Not a Licensed Psychologist, May Have Committed Perjury." And they seem to have taken down her page that used to say she was a research psychologist, which, as you know, the APA will get all over your case if you call yourself a psychologist and you are not. Now, I know you are not a PhD in psychology and you are not, you never hold yourself out to be one, right? You are a nutritionist, right?
Right, and a biochemist.
And a biochemist. But you don't go out of your way to say you are a psychologist. Well, interestingly, the most recent version of that page shows Ford listed only as an affiliate in the department with the words research psychologist removed, along with Ford's email address and phone number. So that is but one lie that we have exposed. But do you think the media is going to report it? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Here's another one. Now, obviously, let's talk about Ford for a minute. Because while I said that I found her testimony compelling, I knew while I was watching, but I didn't. But it was going to a very emotional level, which was the whole idea. This childlike, pretentious kind of, it was an embellished kind of 9-year-old presentation in which, don't touch me, I might break. And yet she was whimpering and whining through the whole thing, but the tone never changed. It was the same whimper. And so at the beginning, it was compelling. And as it continued longer and longer, you wondered if there was any other level that she could reach. But then suddenly, when she was given coffee, she flashed this giant smile on her face as if that was more a genuine thing and more dramatic and almost histrionic because she got coffee than the story that she was telling. So I think a lot of women, I wonder, as I tell you this, and I'm going to get to this, the lies, because I think we should talk about some of those. And what do you think, who do you think finds her less credible, men or women, Martina?
I think that men, and I would say conservative-leaning women, find her less credible. I think that the women who are part of this Me Too movement that are perpetual victims are the ones that would find her credible or would say, oh, look at her, the poor thing. I mean, she's just been traumatized. She brought this upon herself with the collusion, if I can use that word, of the Democrats. So I agree with you. Her whole mannerism shifted quite quickly when she received that coffee. And it tells me that she's either faking it or it may suggest that there's something else going on with her. But it was all in this sort of portrayal of, I'm a victim, listen to my voice, I'm a downtrodden woman, oh, poor me. And that's not to diminish the fact that women that truly have been, and I don't know if she had been, you know, assaulted by someone at some point in time, that does have a traumatic effect. But this seemed to be sort of groveling for the camera, and that she had an audience, and that this was supposed to be how she behaved. I would have found her to be more credible if she told her story. And frankly, the Maricopa County attorney that was there interviewing her said, I wouldn't even bring this to trial. There's no evidence.
And yeah, another Arizona connection.
Assault. Exactly.
Arizona's all over this case. Martina, we're going to have to take a break. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. Two conservative women talking about the Me Too movement and the Kavanaugh hearings. We're going to take a break right now. Please stay with us. You're listening to Spouting Off.
Hi, I'm Mary, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on the separation of church and state.
America's founders believed in a separation of church and state, in that the country was not to have an official religion or an official sect. But that did not mean that government was to be hostile to religion, or even indifferent to religion, as many today argue. In fact, America's founding document, the Declaration of Independence, includes both a reference to God as the author of the laws of nature and a confident assertion that human beings are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Far from being hostile or indifferent to religion, America's founders understood the theology of the Declaration to be an essential part of the education of citizens.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back to Spouting Off here on October 2nd, 2018, the week before we wait to see the fate not only of Judge Kavanaugh, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, to see if he will be confirmed to the Supreme Court, but whether or not such ugly, despicable tactics that throw out the rule of law and due process are going to be allowed to stand and are going to be allowed to be rewarded. I'm delighted to have my friend and forward writer to the book Fat Lash, Dr. Martina Cartwright. Thanks for staying with us, Martina.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I have a soundbite for you in just a minute. Doug, we're going to play soundbite number two, but not before I ask Dr. Martina this. In the days after Dr. Ford, well, if she's a doctor, Christina Ford, whatever, and I want to be respectful to her, but not if she's lying about her credentials. In the days since her testimony, we've seen a couple of things come out. One of them blew my mind. Again, everybody listening needs to take this with a grain of salt and do your own research. Just because I'm saying this is what I read, you know, we're in the midst of a firestorm here, and we're going to try and make sense of it. The prosecutor, who I wasn't highly impressed with, her last name is Mitchell. Do you remember her first name, Martina?
I don't.
It could be Rachel Mitchell. Interesting alliteration. Rachel Mitchell. I wasn't real pleased with that choice, and it's old news to go into. But in recent days, I enjoyed her report because I thought it was important. And in her report, she said that she could never bring a case like this with that evidence, that Christina Ford was not credible. And she did, in the hearing itself, revealed a blatant lie about Christina Ford's flying. And yet it was obvious for all to see, but she didn't press it. And that was that not being able to fly was used as an excuse for why that she couldn't come to Washington and testify. And they were able to delay the hearing another 4 days, which is, after all, part of the mission of the Democrats. So they succeeded. And they used a phony explanation that she couldn't fly. And yet she was caught in a lie in the hearings that she's flown to Hawaii. She flies all around. And people are laughing at it. with Judge Kavanaugh, if he says a word that is absolutely instead of maybe, suddenly he's going to be brought up on charges on perjury. But, Martina, this, and I want you to comment on both of these if you can, and you will because I know you, you will. Here's the other one that blew my mind. I happen to know somebody personally who is liberal. I was doing business with him. Name shall remain nameless. And he lives in Palo Alto, California. He told me that he went to Christina Ford's house to show his solidarity, that he believes her. This was before her testimony. So he already believes her, even though he hasn't seen her testify. And there was this big rally on her front lawn. And it was to say, we believe you, and, you know, Kavanaugh should go and all of that. Well, so everybody knows where she lives. Christina Ford testified when she was asked, how did this come out in therapy? She answered as following, and I paraphrase. Well, we had this big row. This is as I understand it. Because they were remodeling their home, and she insisted on having two front doors because she is so traumatized with what happened to her when she was 15 that she required two front doors. And so the suggestion was that she and her husband were fighting and required marital therapy, when on that day it was revealed that Christina Ford had been molested by Brett Kavanaugh, or the story that she told in the hearing, when she was 15. Come to find out, people researched that house, and this was in 2012. People researched the, they had to pull permits to do any changes on the house. It turns out that those two front doors were there in 2008. Did you read that?
I did read some of that, yes. And I'm smiling as I'm listening to you go through this. You should have been an attorney.
Thank you. I was blown away. I said, this is a smoking gun, but the Democrats and the legacy media are not going to report this at all. Not at all.
No, they're
Give
not.
Give
us
and your thoughts.
They're creating an environment that if you question this woman about some of the issues that don't
inconsistencies
match up. Yeah, that you're a bully because you're picking on a victim, and that's how this works. In other words, we're racist, bigoted, homophobic, xenophobic, and now we pick on women who have been abused. That is their whole idea. And to your point about the fear of flying, apparently she's been all over the world on a jet, and she was able to get over that. And then to your point about the doors, if the FBI truly does an investigation on Dr. Ford, they would go back and look at all those things. They would find out where she had lived previously. They would find out if the houses that she chose to live in had double doors. And as ridiculous as that sounds, that's what the FBI does when they do a thorough investigation. It not only would involve Kavanaugh, but it would involve his accuser. They would demand things like her medical history, talk to all of her physicians, reveal everything that she wanted to hold secret. So it would probably show additional inconsistencies and that the story was created out of convenience, or as they say, you know, delayed memory or whatever the case may be. Again, I don't view this as being legitimate, and I think a lot of people recognize it, but I've had liberal friends, too, that have said, well, I believe her, and they don't know anything about the case.
Not a thing.
And, but no. It's just because they hate Kavanaugh because the guy's a Boy Scout, he's a good family man, and he's everything, he epitomizes things that those of us on the right hold dear, that he's a guy that shows up, that he's a family guy, that he respects his wife and his daughters. He's a participant. He's a contributes to the family as far as having a job. He has a haircut. He probably doesn't have any tattoos. So, you know, not that I'm picking on people that have that, but, you know, you get the idea. The guy is a Boy Scout.
Well, it is curious, Martina. And we're getting a little feedback here. It is curious that the very people, and I've said this before, and I'm going to keep shouting it from the rooftops, the people that have gone about systematically trashing our culture, telling us that values don't matter, that principles don't matter, that honesty doesn't matter, that character doesn't matter, and that what if it feels good, do it. And they elevate criminals. They come to the defense of criminals, and then they go after law-abiding citizens, really just to dismantle our culture, to dismantle everything, as you say, that we hold dear. So it makes sense that they would have not only great hostility to someone like a Brett Kavanaugh, and I don't hold out the impossibility that someone like that could have a double life, given the weak evidence in this case. It makes it that much more obvious that he is indeed a Boy Scout or strives to be one. But the thing that makes me crazy is that these people with such shoddy values, corrupt, lying politicians, every single one of them with lies and ugly, outrageous lies in their past. Feinstein with a Chinese person in her staff that she didn't know about, that they would sit in judgment of this man. That's what makes me crazy. Only one of those things that makes me crazy.
Well, and the fact that they waited till the last minute, they sat on this letter, so I would find her in contempt, or whatever they call it, because she withheld this letter, and she was sitting right next to Justice Kavanaugh. And furthermore, this is why I'm so concerned, truly, about the Republic, and it may sound like hyperbole, but really...
Oh, no.
When you think about what's happening and how divisive this is and how civil wars get started and revolutions, people think it can't happen. I mean, my father is nearly 90, and he has told me over the years, he said, it's things like this that lead to a cultural revolution on one side or the other. And as I respond to these liberal people, I just either walk away because there's no sense in trying to change their minds, but I cannot... And I have a very difficult time even associating with people that I know are good people. But if they hold this liberal mindset, I find it very difficult to be around them because I know that they don't share the same value systems. And it's not like I'm without sin either. But I think, as you and I have talked about earlier, that decisions have consequences. And real women own up to the consequences for their behavior, whether it's, you know, an unwanted pregnancy or something that was just a bad decision. We own up to those things and say, okay, you know, I made a mistake, and this is what's going on. So with some of my liberal friends, it's always somebody else's fault.
Yeah. Martina, it may seem like we have a whole bunch of time left, but we have about 15 minutes left. And so I want to cover a couple of issues in a short kind of a way, because believe it or not, we could do another hour and a half on this story. And I wanted to cover this. Two different people sent me stories about how, I don't know if you saw this, and believe me, we didn't do any show prep, you and I, because you and I can talk and talk and talk just the way we do on the telephone. Two different people wrote me about how Dr. Ford had written a paper about self-hypnotism and about creating false memories. Did you happen to see that?
I didn't. That's curious.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you will see it, because I just got it this morning and I wasn't sure what to think about it, because when I read it, it was somewhat vague. I would wonder why she would write a paper like that to create false memories unless she was claiming that it was somehow therapeutic. But watch for that to rear its head in the next day or two, because it's getting circulated around. I want to investigate. I'm not going to make a judgment, and I'm not going to ask you to make a judgment without having read it, especially since you really do have a PhD. let's play this soundbite. It's an ACLU commercial. I want to get your just off-the-cuff impression to the audio of this commercial. Go for it, Doug.
We've seen this before, denials from powerful men.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I've never seen anything like this.
I categorically and unequivocally deny the allegation against me by Dr. Ford.
America is watching. And as we choose a lifetime seat on our highest court, integrity matters, and we cannot have any doubt. Senator Gardner, oppose the confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh.
Can you believe that? That
wow.
Second voice was the voice of Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gone after Senator Gardner, who is a Colorado senator who is known to dislike and to oppose Donald Trump. So that's part of what they're doing, is trying to go after senators who are weaker. But to characterize Bill Clinton, Bill Cosby, and Brett Kavanaugh, your thoughts?
I think the main difference here is the evidence. I mean, there was clear evidence against Clinton. There was clear evidence, and it was tried in a court of law with Bill Cosby. There's no evidence against Brett Kavanaugh. If there is, produce it. And for some of these senators to say the burden of proof is on him, he has to prove his innocence, that is an entire upheaval of our justice system as it stands now. And I understand why Brett was so angry, because the system that he has worked a lifetime to uphold and support is almost exacting its revenge. It's the ugly, evil twin of what he's been doing for the past several years as a career.
Superb, superb point. He would have more righteous indignation than anybody when he is the subject of the loss of due process, and that's what he's worked his whole life to uphold. Beautiful point, Martina Cartwright. I want to get your thoughts on at least the gist of the piece that I wrote this morning, because there just aren't a lot of people with mental health background who happen to be conservative. So I wrote a piece called Democrats' Emotional Manipulation of Abuse Survivors is Anti-Therapeutic. What I was getting at there, and I have a feeling it just came out, so I wouldn't be surprised if you haven't read it yet. It's in Town Hall. What I was getting at was not only that it does a horrible disservice to abuse survivors in the country, but I'm going to find this here, because it kills me what they're doing, or I'll just have to. What they're doing is popularizing and making trendy the lack of boundaries. The idea that if something happened to you, you get to find somebody guilty regardless of the evidence. It is a loosening of boundaries that is undoing a lot of people in this country's therapy, which is designed to help them strengthen their boundaries, address their anger and rage towards their perpetrator, and not to all men. So I'm appalled that the same people that claim to care so much about this population, they don't care a whit.
Well, I did have an opportunity to read your piece, and it's excellent. So for people that haven't read it, it's a fantastic piece that illustrates your perspective as a social worker, and that someone who has dealt with individuals that were the true victims of sexual abuse or sexual assault. And it goes back to boundaries. And I think what the Democrats are doing is that they're marginalizing and it's almost like one of those MTV reality shows of let's get something, the most outrageous thing, and put it on as a reality show. This is the reality show of what you do to a sexual abuse victim. And so there's going to be two sides. Some people will never believe anybody now who comes and says, I was abused or I was a victim of sexual harassment. Or they're just going to say, I believe everybody, unless you're a conservative woman. And I could see that happening. Look at what happened to Paula Jones and Jennifer Flowers and the like, because they fit into a certain economic class or ideological background, they weren't believed. So I think your piece illustrates that they're making a mockery of abuse, and they're manipulating these individuals for their own purposes, which is abhorrent.
It is abhorrent. And all the more reason why our system is so brilliant, because our system is designed to prevent that kind of emotional mob rule. And what I think has been going on, so much of it, so abhorrent, is Democrats engaging in the very worst kind of demagoguery designed to incite rage and hatred for their own political gain. And they don't care who they harm. The incentive, look, we got incitement and incentive, to a point that you made a little bit earlier about not only is there no evidence in the very best case that they have, the rest are even worse and even more flimsy. The third one is preposterous and insane. Like, let's definitely believe a woman who went to rape parties and then went to 10 of them until she was raped. I guess she was trying. And that's just a horrendous thing to say, but what else can you think? But let me not lose sight of my point. I mean, who goes to a rape party 10 times? I don't get it. And who goes when you're in college and they're in high school and you never report it to anybody? So aren't you the one that is culpable? Of course you are. Of course you are. And her history is atrocious for lying and a lack of character and all the rest. Now, as you see, I get so worked up. What was I going to say? Incentive. Yes. The incentive of the Democrats is painfully obvious. That's the point. There wasn't an incentive for them to bring out what happened in Bill Clinton's case because they were Democrats, and so they covered it up for him. And they minimized it. And they said, well, it was just about sex. And, oh, we're not going to pay attention to Juanita Broderick. We're going to bury that story. So it's extremely important to point out that there was a major, massive incentive that they made clear before they even knew it was Brett Kavanaugh. That's what I wanted to say.
Well, and I think the other point to all of this, too, is think about when you and I grew up. I mean, I grew up in the 80s. I was in high school around the same time as Brett Kavanaugh. And some of the movies that were most popular during that day included movies like 16 Candles. So to me, this is analogous that if the geek in the 16 Candles, Farmer Ted, was running for office today, he would be charged with sexual assault. If any of you know the plot of that movie, you know what I'm talking about. I
yes.
mean, it's that ridiculous. But now we have liberals saying, don't watch those movies from that point in time, because clearly it's about, it trained all these men to assault women. I mean, they've gone off the reservation here. And I just can't deal with it. I just can't.
It's disheartening. And as one of my last questions for you was going to be, so we've laid out the discouraging, disheartening, disgusting, lots of great D words here, of what is currently going on. I'd love to know what goes on when this show is repeated a week or two from now, and we get to know. Like, wouldn't you love to know what's going to happen? What do you think we can do other than calling your senator, which everybody knows they can do and usually doesn't make a huge difference? Although, I don't know. I mean, if they get enough phone calls, sometimes it works. But on a positive side, let's be positive for a minute. And what do you think not only we can do, and if you dare, what do you think might happen?
Yeah, I think they're probably going to be able to get him through. If McConnell stands his ground, they'll vote at the end of this week. They have to get Kavanaugh through. And they have to stand up because there are two things at stake. There's Kavanaugh, and then there's the midterm elections that they have to be mindful of, and people will be watching. And as far as what we can do personally,
and all of jurisprudence as we know it, Martina, don't forget that's at stake too.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. And
just
the other
little thing like that.
For the rest of us is, you know, what can we do to band together? Because there are many of us that think the same way, and that we're just sick and tired of this liberal rhetoric. And this prevents people from wanting to run for office. But I think it goes to two things. You know, follow the money and stop getting frustrated and pounding your head against the wall trying to reason with the liberal. You can't. And you can respect them for how they feel, but you can choose to disengage from them in everyday interactions. And that's what I've chosen to do. And that's just a personal choice. I do have some liberal friends that respect my point of view, but the ones that don't, I have completely disengaged from them because it really is like a civil war. And I'd like to end that on a positive note, but, you know, these are not good times, and I think time will tell, and I'm hoping that McConnell will be able to get this vote through, and we'll have Brett Kavanaugh on the bench within the next couple of weeks.
Boy, from your mouth to God's ears. We do have a couple of names. I don't think I have them all, but it is sad and unfortunate that this will be voted likely on a party line vote. And the swing voters in this case, it's up to Maine Senator Susan Collins, Arizona Senator Jeff Flake, Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, and I think there's one more that's not on my list. So,
well, there's a couple more. Joe Manchin, the woman.
Joe Manchin, who's a Democrat.
Yeah.
Right.
And Joe Donnelly from my home state, he's a Democrat. He said he's going to vote no, but he's in a very tight race with his contender there in Indiana for state Senate. And, you know, if he votes no, I really don't see him representing the state of Indiana after that. I think people are really going to snap back.
What a discouraging time in which a man's entire life's work hinges on a political vote, you know,
and even more
disturbing is that could be, I mean, I could never be a Supreme Court justice, mind you, but if we were in the position of standing in the way of what the Democrats want, that could be any of us. They could manufacture evidence against us. And that's one of the reasons why we do have to stand up. And yes, I think we do need to call these swing senators and let them know that we think this is a whole lot more, about a whole lot more than even a Supreme Court justice. So tell everybody how they can reach you, write to you, and let them know how they can get in touch with you. You are just a gem of a human being, Dr. Martina Cartwright.
As are you.
And I mean
and,
it.
And the easiest way to get a hold of me is just at martina@martinacartwright.com is my email address. You can check out my website at martinacartwright.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And I think more conservative women should stand up against the major flaws in the Me Too movement and stand up for due process, encourage women to speak out, but make sure they're speaking out based on evidence and facts, and that we give everybody the presumption of innocence, because there before the grace of God go us. And I feel absolutely passionate about that issue. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Martina, for being with us. You can reach me at my website, www.karencataline.com, at Facebook by the same name, /karencataline.com. Please don't slash me. Twitter at Karen Cataline. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio, and to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more, and I can't wait to see what we're going to be talking about next week here on Spouting Off.